Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Today we are going to meet Abram again. He is the focus of our ongoing study in God's Word, and this time we meet Abram, the military commander and strategist. Yes, military commander and strategist. Any good biography of Abraham must include this assignment and the ability for it that God gave to him. And last time I introduced you to Abram, the competent commander, and we talked about competency. Today, let's find our father Abram in command. As a heads up, by way of preparation for those of you who have your Bibles open, time permitting, I intend to do some reading in Psalm 108, Romans 8, and Judges 6. So you can be prepared to follow along in the scripture at Genesis chapter 14, Psalm chapter 108, Romans chapter 8, and Judges chapter 6, in that order. As always, I will make it obvious when we get to each section in the Word of God. I do work towards being consistently crystal clear with you. I hope I am. Again, Genesis chapter 14, Psalm chapter 108, Romans chapter 8, and Judges chapter 6. Let us begin in Genesis 14, verses 14 through 16. By now, you may have at least a couple of these verses memorized, and that's very good. Here we go, Genesis 14, beginning in verse 14. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Abram divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them, and pursued them as far as Hovah, which is north of Damascus. Abram brought back all the goods and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions, and also the women and the people. There are a few key words or phrases I invite you to highlight in these verses. And the first is the number 318. You would be right to conclude that is a pretty small army. 318 is not a lot of men, albeit trained men. Keep that number in mind. Second, take note that Abram and his small group of trained men pursued the armies of the northeast as far as Dan initially, then made their attack and continued the pursuit as far as Hovah, which is north of Damascus, says the end of verse 15. So in total, from Hebron, where the attack began, all the way north to Damascus was at least a distance of 160 miles or 258 kilometers. Abram and those under his command covered a serious distance. This was hard to do. I'm asking you to take note of key words in Genesis 14, verses 14 through 16, and the third one is divided his forces. Third, divided his forces. And the fourth, by night. By night. And I'll have more when we get to verse 16, but I do not think we have time for that today. What does all of this tell us? It's this: Abram was a competent commander. He will take 318 trained men, and together they will pursue. They will march or be on an orderly run, going a long distance, and then Abram will divide them so that they will attack under the cover of darkness. God gave him capability and skill in how best to attack the retreating armies and rescue his nephew, Lot. Isn't it amazing what God can do? As we shall see, God gets the victory here, but for now, let us pause and praise God for how he has prepared Abram for this search and successful rescue mission. Another of God's fine military commanders in the Bible is King David, and in Psalm chapter 108, David writes a psalm of praise to the Lord in which he combines verses from Psalms 57 and 60 in order to honor the one who has given him victory in his own battles. I want to point you to Psalm 108 and verse 13, the last verse. David says, "Through God we will do valiantly, and it is he who shall tread down our adversaries." I'll repeat this awesome verse. "Through God we will do valiantly, and it is he who shall tread down our adversaries." Psalm 108, verse 13. Both Abram and David had to physically go out and command their fighting men. Read the Bible. You will see they were not stationary, kind of wishfully thinking, "It would be great if God himself would come down and fight, or send his angels to do the work for us." No, they understood human responsibility. These men of God acted. But they did so having been readied by God. David says, "Through God, we will do valiantly." How does Abram know the art of war? How did he know to train men to be so physically and mentally fit as to pursue an enemy for long distances? How to divide forces and how to do so by night? Herein lies the wisdom of God. Through God, Abram will do valiantly, and it is God who shall tread down Abram's adversaries. It is amazing what God can do. If we want to put this into the context of the New Testament, Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 comes quickly to mind. You may well know Romans 8 verse 31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" Robert Haldane, the Scottish theologian and active church planter, who, along with his brother James, established multiple churches in Scotland and Ireland, he wrote a significant commentary on the book of Romans, and this is what he says about this verse. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" Robert Haldane says, quote, "In the verse before us, we have two propositions. One is that God is for us. The other, that nothing can be, that is, nothing can prevail against us. From this, we may consider who are against and who is for believers. There is arrayed against believers a formidable host composed of multiple powerful enemies. There are Satan and all wicked spirits. There are the world and indwelling sin. There are all sufferings and death itself. How could believers themselves withstand the power of such antagonists?" But on the other hand, the apostle shows in one word who is for them. God, says he, is for us. God is the shield of his people. He holds them in his hand, and none can pluck them out of it. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. End quote. By the way, his last words there are themselves a quotation of Deuteronomy chapter 33 and the blessing of Moses. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I often think of that when I fly. Haldane's insight is important. This is what is meant by the Apostle Paul's encouragement to Christians. If God is for us, who is against us? Answer, nothing and no one. This must have been what Abram and David believed and experienced in their battles. God was for them. God was on their side, and therefore the enemy did not stand a chance. God had adequately prepared them. It is amazing what God can do. Today, we do not apply God's word in Romans to us in terms of physically going to war against our personal enemies. Jesus commands us to love them and pray for them and forgive those who wrong us. But when you get cornered and you feel defeated and discouraged by the array of enemies standing against you, dear Christian friend, remember, God is for you. Take courage, be brave and of good cheer. The Lord will defend you. There is no doubt God's people are in the minority. We are outnumbered. The prevailing and dominant culture fuels hatred against Christians, but God is for us. And we will also be amazed at what God can do. Are you waiting on the Lord? Are you in constant prayer about the enemies who threaten you? Are you on the lookout for God in your life to see Him moving and equipping your character, transforming you into the person He wants you to be? Does He amaze you? And do you give Him honor and glory and praise for who He is? Oh, I hope so. May this be an encouragement to you wherever you are and in whatever you are going through at this exact moment. As we continue to consider what God can do and what He has already done in Abram's life as a competent commander, and all of this with just 318 trained men, I want to draw your attention to a significant cross-reference, and that is found in the Old Testament book of the Judges. I have in mind Judges chapter 6 through 8. This is the compelling story of another of God's chosen men, and his name is Gideon. Do you know Gideon? Do you remember him? Well, we are almost out of time, so I overestimated how much reading we could do in the Bible. Therefore, we will come to Judges chapter 6 next time. Fasten your seatbelts for this. We will find a story remarkably similar to Abram's, and we will begin to do so tomorrow on God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.